Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and our broadcast on the second song of Christmas in our December series. We hope you will invite your family and friends to join us to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. This past month, we received several comments. A viewer from Minnesota said, "Thank you for the new song. It is truly a good Bible study." From New York, "I use the new song for my devotions." And from Oregon, "I so love the devotional study you send to me each month." The new song our viewers are referring to is our newsletter from the writings of Pastor Salem. If you would like to receive this devotional Bible study, write to us or visit us at cwh.org. We hope today's message, the Song of Zechariah on the celebration of the acts of God, will be of encouragement to you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And today we're going to have the second song of Christmas. Last week we had the first one, the Song of Mary. And now we're going to have today the Song of Zechariah. And maybe you'd like to call your friends and say, tune us in because it's Christmas. And the emphasis and the spotlight is on Jesus. I just love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year. So you just stay with us and you'll be glad that you did. You're going to get a blessing whether you want one or not. So how do you like that? We're reading from Psalm 71 today. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." And so, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can gather today all over the world, and we're gathering at the feet of Jesus, that wonderful Jesus who was born of the Virgin Mary and grew to manhood and went to the cross, and on that cross shed his precious blood to pay for our sins. And though he was dead and buried, he was raised the third day. He's in heaven now, and dear Lord, you're going to come back one of these days, and won't that be great, and we'll be ready for you. So bless us in this service, dear Jesus, and make us a blessing to others. And in this service today, may many call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan has a song. You're going to like it. The First Noel. And God bless you, Jan.
Shepherds in
Thank you, Jan. God bless you. And as I think of those wise men coming, bringing gifts to the Lord, reminds me of a story of a little girl in Sunday school. They were telling how the wise men brought all these gifts. And the little girl says, "Why didn't they bring him a bed?" And you know, take a little girl to think of that, wouldn't it? Well, it's a wonderful season. It's a season for children. Oh, God, those are wonderful children. And they can learn about Jesus, and they can trust him, too. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus, and I've got a daughter, Patty, who accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old. And she's a grandma now, and she still loves and serves Jesus. Don't tell me a child can't accept the Lord. You're barking up the wrong tree, Buster. Well, we have our letters. We get, a lot of you like these letters, and I really enjoy them. We read every letter we get. And some of you write like I do, and it's hard to read, but we figure it out. We get it done. The girls work on it, and we decipher it. Well, our first letter is from South Dakota, Olivet, South Dakota. And he writes, I like this letter. We get this from this dear brother. And he says, "Just a short note to let you know how much we look forward to your services when you can keep up preaching the true gospel of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, to all the world. And we pray for each soul that is saved. This old cowboy is still kicking and hanging on. I pray my last ride will come soon in the rapture. We pray for you and your staff every day. May God bless you all. Your old cowboy friend." I've got four cowboys that write in. Now, I'm a sheep herder and proud of it. And I always tell them, sheep herders are smarter than cowboys because sheep herders never get on a wild bull. See, they're too smart for that. But we are and the sheep herders and the cowboys fight, you know. Well, it's just like the Jew and the Gentile. They're one in the church. And sheep herders and cowboys love each other in the Lord. And I just always glad to hear from some of these men. I haven't heard of any women cowboys riding bulls, but who knows if you write, and if I believe you, why, I'll read it. Here's Mountain Home, Arkansas. "Thank you for our steps to peace with God. I sign my pledge to serve Jesus today and accept him into my heart. Thank God." And so this little statement is put out by Billy Graham, and it tells how to accept Jesus. And it tells us is, you just come to Jesus and you tell him you're a sinner. He knows it, but he wants you to confess it. And you just tell Jesus you're a sinner, and you ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. And then you thank him, because whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved, and you can have eternal life. And then you write to us. I'll give the address in just a few minutes. You write to us if you accept the Lord during the service. We got a letter not very long ago, and this it was a man. He says, I prayed to accept Jesus while you were preaching and giving the word. You tell us what to preach, and I preach it. I accepted it. And that can happen just like that. Well, Jesus wants to save us and just call on his name. Oh, it's glorious, just glorious. Here's one from Missouri, Shell Knob, Missouri. "Thank you all in your ministry for the great work you do. Enjoy Sunday so much more with you in my life. Please continue to send a new song and newsletter. God bless you all." And I notice I've got two songs of was asking for this, a new song. And what the new song is, it's a little publication we put out every month. And we send out that letter with the new song. And the new song is a Bible study. It's a little Bible study. And you can just take that, and it's be now this month. It's about this Christmas, and it's entitled "The Gifts We Get from God," and he gives us gifts that you can't get anywhere else, and he gives us gifts that never grow old, and they never go away, and they never go out of style, and the wonderful gift of eternal life, Jesus Christ, the gift of God is eternal life. And we love to preach that. So I'm going to give the address just a little bit here. And you can write in and get the new song. It's free. Ought to charge for it, but no. We're just such good people here. It's free. Here's Baker, Montana. I am delighted to receive the new song in the mail. I share the Bible studies with a group from a retirement home. We are all blessed by them. And so that's what they do a lot of times. They'll have them use it for Bible studies. They'll use it in retirement homes. It's just a little Bible study, and it's written out in such a way that everybody can understand it. Children can understand it. I don't know any big words. And so it's just something that you can just take and read and bless you and grow in grace. And so we're happy about that. Here's Abilene, Texas. Another inmate here in the Taylor County Detention Center has already written you requesting the new song and any other information you and your wonderful crew can send. I'm instructing my friend on the outside to mail a Christian Worship Hour one of my personal checks for $20 on or about the third of the month. That is when I get paid. It's such a small amount for all the good I get out of your program here in jail and now through the mail. I will make any information from you all available to anyone who asks me. I keep your info in my new Bible next to my bunk on my box for all to see. And so here he is, and he's in jail. And I tell you, we hear from so many people in prison. We hear him from Texas to Alaska and from Washington State to Rhode Island in the east. It is wonderful we can minister to these dear people. And what you can do like St. Paul. He was in prison. He was in prison for preaching the gospel. And he witnessed for the Lord in prison. And that's what you can do. And so you just say, well, my life was wasted. My life is gone. No, it isn't. You shine for Jesus. You be a missionary there. And just tell them, don't get preachy. Just tell them what Jesus does for you, how he blesses you, how he helps you, how he makes life worth living, how he gives you peace, gives you joy. Oh, there's a million things he does for us right on the spot. And so you shine for Jesus. And then you write to us. And we'll put you on our mailing list, and we'll send you literature, and we'll send you other literature. And we answer every letter we get from prison. Why we get every letter we get, we answer if it's a question or somebody wanting something. Here's Gainesville, Florida. I received Jesus into my heart at Billy Graham's revival, and now I'm 84 years old. I'm looking forward to seeing the face of Jesus. Jesus is my everything. And oh, I tell you, I'm a great admirer of Billy Graham and now Franklin. He's carrying it on. God bless him. We ought to pray for Franklin Graham every day, the Billy Graham Association. I'm a great supporter of that association. I followed Billy Graham all of his ministry when he started out in Los Angeles, and I was a young preacher. I started out preaching when I was 23 years old. I've been preaching 72 years. He says, well, you haven't made much improvement. No, I haven't, but I still preach the Bible. And you can't beat that. And you can be a successful preacher if you preach the Bible. And if you don't preach the Bible, I don't care how eloquent you are, you're a flop, a failure. And God's going to judge you for it, too. If you get up and pretend like you're a preacher and you're not preaching God's word, he's going to deal with you someday. So you better get your Bible out and start preaching. If you even don't know what it means, preach it. And the Holy Spirit will apply it to hearts of people. One more we got to read here is Nakoma, Kansas. Dear Pastor Salem, hi, how are you? I am 9 years old. My family has been watching your service for a couple of years. I like to play chess, so I liked it when you said the king and the pawn go in the same box when the game is over. King and the pawn, same box. This is a 9-year-old, and I'm going to tell you, some of these 9-year-old playing chess can beat the socks off you. These young people, they just take it, and they're sharp, and it's a great game. I played it a lot, but I couldn't beat anybody now. Well, this is a girl, and she says, I'm sending a donation of $15. I'm also sending a picture that I drew, and it was a picture of a tree, and she did a beautiful job. 9 years old. She's an artist already. Who knows what she'll be? And then she says, your program is good. Keep up the good works. And so we hear from so many, and I hope that you will write to us. And you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you accept the Lord during our service, you write for the literature, and we'll send you literature on getting started in the Christian life. And then if you want to help us in the work, now somebody has to help us, and if we're going to continue, we have to have your gifts. And here's this dear brother in jail, and he writes, and he says he can only send $20. Well, if he can only send $1, if just whatever God lays on your heart, some of you can send a lot, and some of you can send a little, and some of you can't send anything, but you can pray. And you pray for the Christian Worship Hour. But we've got the address on there, and for you people on our shortwave radio, it's Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And also remember now the little publication, the new song is free. You love it. I know you'll like it. And if you don't, you send it back. I'll apologize on the TV. And for that, I'll say so-and-so. I'm going to give you a name, though. Give you a name. Say Joe Blow. He didn't like it. And there you, I'll keep my word if you send it in. I'll bet I get a dozen letters. But I'm just going to read one, not all of them. And so you write to us. And then we want to also tell you that we have a little booklet, Can I Lose My Salvation? And the answer is no, you cannot. If once you're saved forever. And it's all Bible. It isn't that I've had a vision or something like that. It's Bible verses. And that's about 14 pages. So if you can send a gift to help us, that's fine. If you don't have any money, write us. We'll send you one free and postpaid. I don't know how you can ever beat that. And just remember this, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization, and they audit our books. And they snoop around everywhere. But they check everything out, and they check what we get and how we pay it. And you can count on it. The money you send will go into the furtherance of the gospel. We won't be buying fancy cars and boats and houses and all of the rest of that. I think God would strike me dead if I did. We're just, well, the guy got a board. They wouldn't let me. And they're strict, too. They're disgusting. But if we just use it all for the gospel, and you just send it in, help us. We really appreciate it. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray a little prayer. Jan's going to play, and then you give as the Lord lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts that you send us. Thank you for supplying our needs. Bless your people for their faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Appreciate your ministry of music. Always so faithful, always there. Well, we're going to be singing, thinking about the song of Zechariah today. And if you have your Bibles, you turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 67. And you might just leave it open because as we preach along, we're going to refer to this passage. But we read here that his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. That is, John the Baptist, his father, Zechariah, who was a priest, and he prophesied saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And he did that in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel." We're going to have a prayer now. And in the prayer, we always pray for our brothers and sisters, the persecuted church. And we're going to pray for those in Lebanon because some of them are suffering and dying for the Lord. And so we think of Lebanon this week. So dear Heavenly Father, we thank you first of all for Zechariah and the great vision that he had revealed to him about how this coming Savior would come and bring darkness, bring light to those who sit in darkness, to the whole world that's in darkness, and the devil blinds the eyes of all of those who follow him. And then you came, the light of the world, and the light shined in the darkness, and there was light into the world, and people responded to that light until now. All over the world, we have those people who love you and serve you. And, oh, Lord, some of them serve you unto death, as we think especially of our dear brothers and sisters in Lebanon, that, oh, Lord, they were called upon to testify, to deny you, Lord, and they testify to their saving faith, and they refused to turn their back on you, and they were threatened with death, and they still refused to turn, and some of them gave their life. And now they're in your presence, Lord, and they wear the martyr's crown, and someday we'll see them. So we don't pray for them, Lord, because they're safe at home, never to have another trouble or trial. But we pray for those who are left behind, especially the children, the little children, innocent little children. But, oh, God, that's what always happens in wars and all of the rest of it. The innocent suffer with the rest of the world. And how sad it is. And so be close to them. We know you will. Help them to trust you and to lean on you. Help them not to be afraid and to know that the loving arms of Jesus are around them and you'll take them safely home at the appointed time. So we just love you, Lord. And we just pray for these dear people. Now bless us in this service. We pray that many will open their hearts to Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. And Hank is going to sing a new song, Wise Men Follow Him. And God bless you, Hank.
At the birth of our Savior, wise men came from afar. They came to worship the Savior. So remember, wherever you are,
wise men follow him. Wise men follow him, and they adore the Savior that was born in Bethlehem. They brought gifts to the Savior, frankincense, myrrh, and gold. They found the key in a manger, and most of the world didn't know.
Wise men
follow him.
Wise men
follow him, and they adore the Savior that was born in Bethlehem. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. The world still doesn't realize. If you follow Jesus, my friend, you'll be foolish in their eyes. But wise men follow him.
Wise men
follow him, and they adore the Savior that was born in Bethlehem. Wise men follow him.
Wise men
follow him.
Well, thank you, Hank. That's a beautiful song. And wise men, if you're wise, you follow Jesus. Now, Hank has a new Christmas album out, and that song is on it. And if you want to get some for Christmas, why, you can write to us, write to the Christian Worship Hour. I'll give you the address, and we'll see that he gets the word. Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. I know you'll enjoy Hank's music. He's been with us since day one. God bless him. Well, we're talking about Zechariah, the song of Zechariah. And he lived up in the hill country of Judea. And he was a priest. And the priests of Israel were allowed to marry. And so Zechariah had married a woman named Elizabeth. And when our story, we look at today, when that took place, neither Zechariah and Elizabeth were young anymore. They were long in years. They lived a good, long life together. And it was a very happy marriage because they were godly people, except for one thing, and that was, they were childless. They didn't have any children. And according to the devout Jew, to be childless was a great tragedy. And so it was on this particular occasion, Zechariah was chosen to burn incense in the temple. And we're told in the Bible that Zechariah was of the division of Abijah. And they used to cast lots for the various duties of the priests. And this time the lot fell to Zechariah to burn incense. And to do this, he had to enter the holy place, the Holy of Holies. He must minister at the altar, and he must make intercession in the morning and in the evening, burning incense. And to have this assignment was a very, very great honor and responsibility. And never before had Zechariah been asked to do this, and now he's called upon it. And he is so happy because, this wonderful privilege came to a priest only once in his lifetime. Only once did he enter that Holy of Holies. And now here Zechariah is appointed to do that. And so he gets us clothed in spotless robes. He has his head covered. He has his shoes off. And this holy old man disappears behind the golden doors of the holy place. And as he enters, he sees the golden candlestick and the table of showbread and the altar of incense. And Zechariah then pours the censer full of incense, pours it on the perpetual altar fire. And as he does, he prays for the people outside. And the incense is burned, and he's praying for this people. And thus it was that while he was there doing this, an angel appeared to him. He was standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw the angel, he was troubled, and he was filled with fear, because he had never seen that before. And the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Now, godly Zechariah cannot believe what he is hearing. He is amazed. He just can't handle it. And this is what he says in chapter 1, if you're following in your Bible. Luke chapter 1, the 18th verse, 18 to 20. He says, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man. My wife is well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these great things. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And so he can't speak. Zechariah comes from the temple then, and he's unable to speak. He's unable to hear. He's deaf and he's dumb. And he cannot bless the people. He cannot pray aloud for the people. And the worshipers knew that he'd seen a vision. Something had happened to this priest, Zechariah. So Zechariah and Elizabeth go to their home in the hill country, perhaps somewhere near Hebron. We don't know. And for 5 months, they keep out of public view. Zechariah cannot serve as a priest because he's a speechless condition. And so he remains at home with Elizabeth. And it came to pass for Elizabeth, and the child is born. And on the eighth day of he is circumcised. And they proceed to give him his father's name, which is Zechariah, because that's the custom of the law. That's what custom of the day. But his mother Elizabeth says, "No, you can't name him Zechariah. You have to name him John." Verse 60. John meaning the grace of God. But the people protest and they say, no. They say, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And so they say, "He's got to be called Zechariah." And so they signal to the father, and he makes a sign to them, so give them a tablet so he can write. And when he gets the tablet, he writes, "His name is John," verse 63. His name is John. So Zechariah writes that. His name is the grace of God. There's nothing to discuss. God has named this boy. His name is John. And immediately, Zechariah's tongue is loosed. This month he's been thinking. He's been in silence. His tongue is loosed. He can see. He breaks out in song. And we are told that they all marveled. Then the man who was dumb broke out in song and made this just not just a song, but it's a prophecy as well as a song. Luke tells us in verse 65 and 66, "And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him." Great and wonderful things for this boy. Great and wonderful things are going to do. Jesus, you remember what Jesus said of this boy? In Matthew 11:11, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." So the child is born and the child is named. And then what happens? We don't know. He disappears from the page for 25 or 30 years. He has a powerful ministry in the desert. And he's preaching for God, and God's hand is on him. And Luke gives us only four little lines about this great man. Luke says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." And so there's the backdrop, and we look at then, with all this behind us now, at the song that Zechariah is going to sing. He sings three different things. He says it falls into three different parts. First of all, it celebrates the action of God out of the past, what God has done in the past. And then secondly, it describes the mission of the child, John the Baptist, the present. And third, it declares the action of God in the future. So in this song, he's talking about the past, the present, and the future, and it's a prophecy. And so this is what he does. He celebrates the action of God out of the past, first of all. And so he refers to so many things in the past. Zechariah talks about Israel. He talks about the God of Israel. This is in verses 68 to 73. He talks about David. He talks about the servant David. He talks about the holy prophets. He talks about our fathers. He talks about the holy covenant. He talks about the oath. He talks about Abraham. Zechariah is looking back. He's seeing God at work over the ages. As Mary put it in her song, he sees it from generation to generation, this great God Almighty. As Zechariah goes back to God himself, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel." And then Zechariah declares, "Because the way of the Lord was with them," he says, "He hath visited." Going on, Zechariah says, "and wrought redemption." Zechariah was a priest. And when he talks about redemption, he wasn't talking about political redemption. He was talking about redemption from sin, taking away sin. Or again, he sings out, "He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his house of David," born of salvation. And that can mean power, and it can mean splendor, and it can be majesty, and it can be dignity of our salvation. Or it could figure, it talks about completeness, and it talks about plentifulness of our salvation. All of that, and then Zechariah celebrates the ultimate. He says in verses 71 and 72, "that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." And so the salvation is for all people, for the Jew and the Gentile, the heathen, the pagan, everyone. And so he talks about the things of the past. And then Zechariah talks, and he talks about how he describes the mission of the child, John, in verses 76 and 77. "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest." He's talking about John the Baptist now. "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways," to prepare the way for the Lord. And one way he did it was by preaching the word of God and by preaching the gospel. And then he would have multitudes of people following him. And when Jesus comes on the scene and he's baptized, what does John do? He has a huge multitude of people following him, and John points to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And you know what he said? "Follow him." He prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. I think of my mother when I think of that, because as a little boy, she had three boys there in a row, and she, the first thing I remember of my mother is that she read us a Bible story, and she gave us a kiss and a prayer and put us and tucked us into bed. She's preparing the way for Jesus. And when I heard about Jesus being saved and all calling on the name of the Lord, I answered the first time I heard the message of this come to Jesus. That's what John was doing for Jesus. He's preparing the way, and this multitude of people, "I'm giving you all to Jesus." See? Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So John is going to prepare way for the coming of the ministry of Jesus. He's going to assemble the multitudes, and then he's going to point to Jesus and say, "This is the Lamb of God." How could you make it any plainer? John prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. John told the people of the salvation. And that's exactly what he did. And that's what we need to do in the lives of others, is prepare the way of the Lord to help the people come to know Jesus, to know about him, to hear about him, to understand him, to know what he means for us, that he's real and he speaks to our heart. And just tell him, you don't have to have a seminary. You don't need to come from seminary. You just need to do this. You just need to tell them what Jesus has done for you. Now, if you're going to argue some theological point, they can argue you all over the moon, and you won't have it come out, you won't have anything. But when you tell them what Jesus did for you, they can't take that away from you because it's yours, like the man born blind. And they couldn't say, well, how did you get your sight? And he says, I don't know. All I know is that Jesus gave me my sight. And they couldn't do anything about it. And when you tell them what Jesus means to you and how he helps you and he gives you peace and he gives you comfort and he gives you strength and you can rejoice. And when things are happening and you don't understand why they're happening and they're bad things and they're hard things, and you can just say, I know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, and I don't understand any of these things going on here, but I do know this. I know God is in control, and I'm not going to throw away what I know for something I don't know. Use your head. You know that he loves you. You know that he died for you and was raised again. You know he's going to come back for you. You know that he's preparing a place for you in heaven. You know that you're saved for time and eternity. Don't have something happen in your life. I don't know why God did that. I'm done with God. You don't know why. Just lean on what you do know. And the people can't take that away from you. You tell them, Jesus saved my soul. He gave me peace. And they say, oh, no, he didn't. Oh, tell me he didn't give me peace. Jump in the lake, bozo. You know, don't. Just they can't take it from you. And that's what he's doing here. And so then he declares the action of God in the future, things that are going to happen. Verses chapter 1, verse 78 and 79, first chapter in Luke. Here Zechariah talks about the future, the things that God is going to do. And this is what he says. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Zechariah was undoubtedly quoting or referring to another scripture by Isaiah. And this is what Isaiah said in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. He says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in the wilderness in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor the Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. That's what's going to happen, he says. And Zechariah is telling us that when this Jesus comes, this Messiah is coming, this is what he's going to do. He's going to see that this world is in darkness. That's exactly what Isaiah was doing. He's prophesying long before Zechariah. And he says, Isaiah looked ahead. He looked centuries ahead. And he saw the day when those people in darkness, those people in peril, those people who not only of life, but in losing their life and their soul and their spirit, those are going to be cast into hell. The day will come when they pass that from the shadow of death into light. That's what Isaiah was talking, and that's what Zechariah was talking about. There's going to come a time where there's somebody's going to come, and it's going to be light. And it's going to shine in a dark world. And that light is Jesus, the Messiah. And John the Baptist is going to prepare the way for him and point him out. Zechariah here, he's praising God. He's everything in motion. He says the time is now. The time is now. The Messiah has come. Isaiah was talking about it. The Messiah is coming. He's going to be born of that Mary. And man, this my son, John the Baptist, going to point the way and prepare the way for him, that wonderful Savior. Notice the origin of this rising of this light. It says the tender mercy of our God. That is that God is sovereign and God is passionate, and out of boundless love he comes. He wouldn't have to come. We're lost in darkness. We can't find our way. He didn't have to come at all because it was our doing, our sin that put us there. But no, out of the tender mercy of our God, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. It's the grace of God and the love of God. And he sent his Son. And that's the origin of this light. And then the purpose of the rising is also given. And the reason he came, as the scripture says, to give light to them that sit in darkness. The world is a place of moral and spiritual darkness. The world is ignorant and polluted and miserable and lost. And only the coming of the blessed day spring from on high can come and shine into the, drive away the shadows and shine in the darkness. His coming alone can take away the mists of ignorance and idolatry and all of the rest. And the light can shine through. Only Christ can make men free. There is no other way. The moon and all of the stars cannot make a day in the world for man. Darkness of the world is ignorance of God, and Christ is a Christless heart and a godless life. And that's mean they're alienated from God. Genesis 1, chapter 2 states that darkness is on the face of the earth deep, and the whole world was enveloped in darkness. And when Christ came, that whole world is lost in darkness, and they can't find their way out. And in this darkness, men cannot see God, and they can't see heaven. And they're in a hopeless, pitiful condition. And they're going to end in the pit of hell. And then there comes a light and shines in the darkness, and they're set free. Dr. Jowett calls attention to this, this sitting in darkness. And he pictures it like this. Here's a man, he's sitting by an open fireplace, and it's a cold, bitter night. And oh, his is dark and black outside. And the bright light makes the room cheerful and genial and warm. And a candle fills a light with tender, mellow light. And a man sits there and he's enjoying it all. And he sits there until the fire burns low in the fireplace. And eventually it burns out, it ends out. And the warmth gives way to searching chill. And the chill comes over the room. And it enters into the flesh of that man. And it goes to his very bones. And the candle goes out and the darkness comes. And the man sits in darkness and blackness. And he's numb and he's lost. He sits in a dreadful bondage. And there's no way out. And there's no way for him to turn. And there's nothing he can do. And those people, oh my, there are people whose soul life is just like that. We see them every day, all of the time. There's no fire in the grate. The light has gone out. They are in darkness and they're lost in their deepness in sin, and there's no way out. It is not always so. Once there was a fire that burned in our hearts with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he knew God and he walked with God and he talked with God, and he had was a fellowship with God, but something happened. He had a fall and that light went out. And I heard somebody talk about a spark of divinity in all of us. There's no spark, not even a spark. If you've got a corpse is dead. If he's got a little life, he's not a corpse. And we are dead in our trespasses and our sins. And there we are in a hopeless condition. It is a spiritual catastrophe. And we're going to lose our soul and we're going to lose all we have. You ever think of these two statements, sitting in darkness and hanging in darkness? When Christ was on the cross, he hung there in awful darkness. It was a midnight experience at midday, such a terrible event. And he hung in the darkness because we sat in the darkness. And Jesus hung in the darkness to pay for our sin so that we could walk in the light. And this wonderful Savior, the day spring from on high has come, and he's shown us the way. And I saw the light, and I came to Christ, and he saved my soul. And right now, he can be shining into your light. There's something saying to you. You're going to say, I need to have Jesus. I want to have Jesus. That was Zechariah's song. The day spring is Jesus Christ, the whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Jesus Christ has visited us. He came at Christmas, and then he went to the cross 30-some years later, died on the cross. He came to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our steps in the way of peace. That's why he came. Thank God for the Christmas season, because it's the coming of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this terrible, wicked world. And oh my God, I look at that television sometimes and I wonder, what in the world is happening? What is happening to man? How arrogant and how godless they are. And they don't want you to talk God to them, and don't you preach Bible to them. They destroy you. They want to get God out of the picture. And the Psalm 2 talks about that. They want to get God out of the picture. And you know what it says in the Bible? God just laughed at them. But in the meantime, they're losing their soul and they're lost. And Zacharias is telling us, he will come, and this wonderful Jesus will save us from the darkness of sin, and he'll put us in the kingdom of light. And so I want to know today, how are you in the kingdom of darkness, or are you the kingdom of light? You're in one or the other, you're not in both. And you can never get out of the kingdom of darkness till you come to Jesus. And his light is shining right now as I preach. The Holy Spirit has taken the Word of God and he's talking to your heart. Maybe you're in Africa. I don't know where you're at. But the Holy Spirit knows. And you're having something is saying to you, I need Jesus. I want that light. I want that Messiah. I want that Christ. I want that peace. I want that forgiveness. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to go to heaven. I want to see Jesus. I want to make my life count for something while I'm here. If you just feel that way, this is what you do. You tell Jesus you're a sinner. Just tell it in your own words. Don't get fancy. Don't thee and thou and all of the rest of it. Just talk to Jesus. I talked to a man not too long ago, and he prayed to accept Jesus. He didn't know any more about praying than the man in the moon. When he got done, instead of saying amen, he said goodbye. That's fine. God knows he's looking at your heart. Just say in your own words, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And I ask you to come into my heart, wherever you are, come into my heart, take away my sin, and I'll follow you the best I can. And I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never be perfect. You strive for perfection, but you'll never be perfect till you get to glory, because the closer you get to Jesus, the more flaws you'll see. But you get to Jesus, and he'll save you, and you'll have peace and joy that you never had before. I don't know if you'll have a lot of feelings or not. Some people do and some people don't. The feelings don't mean a thing, because it's a contract you're making with God. It's a covenant. And that covenant is that God says, if you accept my son, I'll give you eternal life. And you say, yes, I accept that son. And you have eternal life. And if you did accept the Lord, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. 57402, and you can help us with a gift while you're writing, because we need your help. Don't forget, we have to have help just like anybody else. But if you accepted Jesus, or if you drifted away and you came back, you write to us. If you have some spiritual problem, maybe you're on addiction or something, write to us. We'll try to help you. We'll give you some literature, and we'll help you to be closer to the Lord and live with the Lord. And then someday we'll all be together on the streets of gold. We'll be with the Lord in heaven. But you have to come to Jesus. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your life. If any man open that door, I will come in. I had a little boy ask me one time. He says, what if I ask him in and he won't come in? I've never been asked that before or since in over 70 years. But Jesus says, I will come in. Pray to come right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jesus, that he loves us. We thank you at Christmas he came, started his pilgrimage journey in the flesh, ending up on the cross, and then resurrected. Oh, may God bless them And dear Lord, be with those who are on beds of sickness. Be with the shut-ins. Help them to know that you are there, that you care, that underneath are the everlasting arms. To those who may be having a hard time, maybe they're getting through a divorce, maybe they're on drugs. Oh my God, I don't know what it is, but you know what it is, and you'll help them, Lord. And we just pray that right now they'll say, dear Jesus, help me. I want to serve you. I want to walk with you. And if you do that, oh God, we just pray that there'll be multitudes and all to your honor and all to your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So now you write to us. You pray for us. If you think this is something God needs, you need to help us. Can't do it by ourselves. And God isn't going to do it. He's going to do it through his people. He could send angels to do it. Nope, he's going to do it through the redeemed. So you need to help us, Christian Worship Hour. Got it on the screen there. Those on you on shortwave, Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, USA, 57402, USA. So God bless you. Now next week, we're going to talk about the song of the angels. And somebody says, well, angels don't sing. Well, you come along, see what we see about that. In the meantime, God bless you. See you next weekend, Lord willing. Bye.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.